Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show follows the career of Natalie Wood, the actress who started in an ice cream commercial aged 4 and whose death is still shrouded in mystery. I hope you enjoy the show. Natalie Wood left an enduring legacy of modern cinema when she died in 1981. Like Betty Davis before her, she fought hard against the studio system that had invented her and made her a star. Her work curiously mirrors the emancipation of women in the 20th century. She was born Natalia Zakharenko in San Francisco to Russian parents, the second of three daughters. Her mother had always dreamed of becoming an actress or dancer herself, and she transferred her hopes to her middle daughter and took her to the cinema whenever she could. Natalie was spotted on the street at the age of 4 and cast in an ice cream commercial. At the age of 7, she played Orson Welles' daughter in Tomorrow is Forever, about a Jew returning to New York after the First World War. Welles described her as so good she was terrifying. The following year, she appeared as a cherub-cheeked cynic in the huge hit Miracle on 34th Street, starring Edmund Gwenn as a man institutionalized for genuinely believing he is Santa Claus. It won 3 Oscars and became a Christmas favorite. She played Betty Davis's daughter, Gretchen, in The Star in 1952. And then in 1955, she starred opposite James Dean in that film Rebel Without a Cause, managing to have affairs with both Dennis Hopper and the 43-year-old director Nicholas Ray during the shoot. The year before, she had been brutally raped in a hotel in Hollywood by an established movie star, and for fear of repercussions, had remained silent. She was nominated for an Oscar for Rebel Without a Cause, along with Sal Mineo and Nicholas Ray. The following year, she played in John Ford's Western, The Searchers, as a 15-year-old girl who is kidnapped and raped by Comanche Indians. John Wayne's repeated use of the phrase, "That'll be the day," during the film, was the inspiration behind Buddy Holly's rock classic.
That someday will be true. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Heart. So if we ever part, then I'll leave you. You sit and hold me and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
The film featured both Natalie and her younger sister Lana, both portraying Debbie at different ages. For several years, she was cast opposite various leading men, but in mediocre films. Carl Malden in Bombers B-52, Gene Kelly in Marjorie Morningstar, both Frank Sinatra and Tony Curtis in Kings Go Forth, James Garner in Cash McCall, and in All the Fine Young Cannibals with Robert Wagner, whom she had married earlier in 1957. But none of them set the world alight, and she was beginning to be seen as an actress whose career was over. However, Elia Kazan took an interest in her and reignited her acting flame. Despite being discouraged by those around him, he saw something in Natalie Wood that he could exploit. He said, "I detected behind the well-mannered good wife front a desperate twinkle in her eye." He discovered she was going to see a psychoanalyst, and that did it. He cast her as the sexually frustrated and inhibited ingenue in Splendor in the Grass, opposite a then-unknown Warren Beatty, and he hit the jackpot. Kazan's film perfectly exploited both actors' abilities and told a bittersweet love story, touched with tragedy. Natalie gained her second Oscar nomination for this role. Suddenly, her career took off again, and the next year she was in West Side Story, the film version of the smash hit Broadway musical. It won 10 Oscars and grossed a mind-boggling $43 million in 1961, the highest for the year. The following year, she played Gypsy Rose Lee in another musical. Mervyn LeRoy's biopic, Gypsy, which became the highest-grossing film of 1962. Unlike in West Side Story, Natalie wasn't dubbed by another singer. She divorced Robert Wagner in 1962, and in 1963 she acted with Steve McQueen in Robert Mulligan's Love with the Proper Stranger, a groundbreaking film looking at illegal abortion in New York. She plays a girl who has a pregnancy from a one-night stand with a musician played by McQueen, who isn't ready to settle down and doesn't even remember her. She excels in this role and received another Oscar nomination. The film had another 4 nominations but didn't do well at the box office.
I could fall in love with the proper stranger. If I heard the bells and the banjos ring, if two certain eyes with the look of danger smiled a welcome warm as spring, if the tom-tom in my heart sounded out a warning, don't let her walk through the door. This is the one you've been waiting for.
Two comedies followed with Tony Curtis, Sex and the Single Girl and The Great Race, followed by Inside Daisy Clover. At the age of 27, she played a 15-year-old tomboy who becomes a Hollywood star who shines and burns out. Robert Redford also starred. It was a demanding role as she appears in nearly every scene and she does a good job, but the film was a mediocre success.
Give me some sky. I've got me some wings. I'm eager to try. I may be unknown, but wait till I've flown. You're gonna hear from me. Toss me the moon, 'cause I've gotta shine. I'm climbing a cloud and calling it mine. You'll pardon my haste, I've no time to waste. You're gonna hear from me. Heaven smiles from the blue above me. I'm heaven's child. Listen, world, you're gonna love me. Watch the world over, start coming up clover. That's how it's gonna be, you'll see. You're gonna hear from me. Thank you. take it from Daisy. That's how it's gonna be, you'll see. You're gonna hear from me.
Another film with Robert Redford followed, This Property Is Condemned, in 1966, directed by Sidney Pollack. It was an adaptation of a Tennessee Williams play that Williams was highly displeased with, so much so that he tried to get his name taken off the credits. It was Francis Ford Coppola's scriptwriting debut. Natalie's mental health wasn't good, and she tried to commit suicide during the shoot. A comedy, Penelope, with Ian Bannon followed, but she persuaded Warners to cancel her contract and took a break for 3 years. She broke her silence with Bob, Ted, Carol and Alice, a sex comedy with Robert Culp, Diane Cannon and Elliot Gould, which was a box office hit. Instead of a fee, she took a percentage of the gross, which turned into $1 million. Then she took another break, this time for 4 years, until she made The Affair, a TV movie reuniting her with her ex-husband Robert Wagner, whom she had remarried in 1972. She was pregnant at the time of the shoot with her second child.
Thank you. together gone. Now I can't see you
In the 70s, she did more television, but appeared in only three more features before her death in 1981. These were Peeper with Michael Caine, Meteor with Sean Connery and Carl Malden, and Brainstorm with Christopher Walken. During the filming of Brainstorm, she was with her husband on his yacht Splendor with Christopher Walken for a Thanksgiving weekend trip to Catalina Island. The following morning, her corpse was discovered 1 mile from the boat, near an inflatable dinghy, but it was never determined how she had got there. Cause of death was entered as drowning and other undetermined factors. According to the boat's captain, she had quarrelled with her husband due to her flirting with Walken. Unexplained bruises were found on her body, and her sister Lana claimed she was in plans to re-divorce Wagner at the time. Lana added that Natalie had a lifelong fear of water and would never have left the yacht on her own. A couple on a nearby boat stated they had heard a woman screaming for help in the night. As recently as February 2018, the police claimed that Robert Wagner was a person of interest in their investigations. In her own words, "I hate the ocean, I hate the water, I can't swim, and I don't like to be around it." On her childhood stardom, she said this: My life has been sort of reversed. I was working when other girls were going to school, and when other women were reaching the age when they wanted careers, I was most interested in staying home. And on the film business, you get tough in this business until you get big enough to hire people to get tough for you. Then you can sit back and be a lady. Natalie Wood was buried at Westwood Village Memorial Park, and the funeral was attended by a multitude of cinema greats. Regardless of the scandal and her litany of promiscuity, she left a substantial body of great work, which must secure her a place as one of the most talented actresses of the 20th century.
What makes a man to wonder? What makes a man to roam? What makes a man leave bed and board and turn?
Run!